God is great. God is great. Let us give thanks to the Lord for his loving kindness and for his wonders to the sons of men. One generation shall praise your works to another and will declare your mighty acts. Celebration Sunday was created with the hope of a corporate collective meeting in which we would all declare God's greatness and celebrate him together. So today, from Erie and Boulder and many places in between, we gather as one church in this place. If you attend the Erie campus, would you just raise your hand? I'm not going to have you stand because you're tired of getting up and down. I don't want you to break a sweat. Look, okay, that's the Erie campus. Welcome. If you've attended Calvary Bible Church for less than 5 years, would you just raise your hand? Awesome. Great. And how about if you've been at Calvary for more than 25 years? We won't ask you to stand either, but would you raise your hand? There. Look, okay. Now let me indulge one more group. There's a lot of clapping in the Bible, so it's all good. One more group. I am going to ask you to stand. This building, was built by members of this church. If you helped in the construction of this building, would you please stand? Just a few left, but a lot of that building was put together by the sweat equity of the congregation at Calvary Bible Church. And we would like to say to those of you who stood that we are grateful for your service to God and this church. I would say that your effort and time and financial commitment made it possible for the rest of us to be here today. You followed God, had a vision, built a church, and far and away the majority of us are enjoying the benefits of your following God in that vision. Here's my question to all of us. 25 years from today, in the year 2036, we dream of another generation who will be in a tent twice as large, who will be here because of the faithfulness of this generation, of you, to follow God, to hear his voice, to act upon his prompting, and to give of yourself in service and giving and faithfulness and prayer so that 25 years from now, in this place and in a place 16 miles to the east of us, there will be two campuses of a God-glorifying, Christ-centered community of people fully devoted to loving God and loving others. Can you imagine that if all of us 25 years from now could be replaced by 5 or 6 or 7, 8 other people that we've led to Christ? That's our dream, that Calvary Bible Church will be the same in this generation as we have, only more fervent for Christ. It's worthy on Celebration Sunday to recapture a brief history of our church. So at the highest level, I will tell you that January 2nd, 1889, four families met together, and they became the Swedish Crowns Tabernacle. The families were the Andersons, the Nelsons, and the Wernsons. Swedes, all of them. And they bought a building on the corner of 17th and Spruce for $500. 6 years later, they joined with another small church, the Evangelical Covenant Church, and we have in our possession minutes of the early meetings of the two congregations talking together about whether or not they should join and become one church. They did. Their first pastor had the name Alex Olson. They were united on June 6, 1906, which coincidentally is Sweden's Independence Day. They called their first full-time pastor in 1920. His name was Oscar Bolander. And for the first 54 years, you know that they had all of their services in Swedish. We got a copy of some of the early minutes, and so there's a roster here. Let me read you some of the names on the church roster. Charles Anderson, Charlemagne Anderson, Carolina Anderson, Augusta Anderson, Sarah Anderson, Anders Anderson, Mathilda Anderson, Elin Anderson, Niles Ackerson, August Ackerson, Donald Anderson, Mrs. Donald Anderson, Elmer Anderson, and there you have it. I mean, you had to be Swedish to be a part of the church in the early days, early Swedish families who came to this country to be minors. But the church set itself apart in 1943 deciding, hey, let's do some of our services in English. In fact, let's do them all in English. And for us, that may seem like a no-brainer. But if you have been in church in the flow of the way you like it, and it's always been your church, your style, your way, to change languages was a very big decision. But it is a part of the DNA of Calvary Bible Church that has continued to permeate what we pray is everything about us at a church, that we will do whatever God leads us to do to, in a more effective way, let him be known in the world as the great God and Savior, Jesus Christ. The church moved to Broadway and Balsam in 1950. In 1977, we purchased 10 acres here. In 1977, 5 years later, we broke ground on this building, and this building was built and then dedicated. We planted churches in Broomfield and Longmont and Louisville, and 5.5 years ago, we launched the Erie campus. And our verse in our program says this: one generation shall praise your works to another and declare your mighty acts. So what we want to consider is, what will future generations say about this generation of members of this church who said, God is great and his works are worthy to be made known? Here we are in a tent, a temporary shelter, happy that Hurricane Irene is not that close to us. We're able to worship here today. Not many Swedes left in the building. Our backgrounds are different. We're men, women, grandparents, grandchildren. Some of us are Boulder natives. Most of us are transports to this area. We're doctors, we're lawyers, we're teachers, we're professionals. We're tradesmen, electricians, mechanics. We're stay-at-home moms, business owners, unemployed, underemployed, retired, programmers, scientists, researchers. We're high school students, middle school students, collegiates, grad students, professors. Some of us have it together. Some of us are trying to put it back together. We're single, we're married, we're widowed, we're single again. Some of us have independently become wealthy. Some of us are barely making it. We live in apartments or condos or townhouses or tents. We camp. We drive trucks and SUVs and Hondas and Subarus and every other kind of car. We bike, we run, we swim, and some of us limp. We're vegetarians, we're vegans, we're carnivores. We're Democrats, we're Republicans, we're independents. We've got our pet projects and our pet peeves and our private enterprises. We're CU fans, and we're CU fans. But we're all saved by the grace of Jesus Christ. And we're all filled with the Spirit of God. And we all live for the will of God and the glory of God. We mark 122 years of celebrating God's faithfulness. in our generation. A familial generation is defined by the average time between a mother's first offspring and her daughter's first offspring. In the United States, by that measurement, a generation is 25 years. So we're just about concluding the fifth generation of Calvary Bible Church. The problem with successive generations of faith is that by the third generation, there is commonly a complacency or apathy that sets in. The faith simply has been handed down and in many cases taken for granted. Therefore, the love of many, or at least some, waxes cold. If we're completing the fifth generation of existence as a church, how will we protect ourselves as a congregation from a complacency that could ruin our future? How do we guard against our hearts becoming cool or apathetic? How do we keep our love and our faith fervent, whether we're old or young, whatever state we are in our life? How do we bolster our confidence in God and grow our faith and believe in Him and trust in Him? We are simply a collection of people in this generation who want to say to God, what is your will and can we walk in it? So there's a text in the Old Testament that I'd like to read for you. I know some of you, most of you perhaps won't have your Bible, but I'm reading from Psalm 107, where the psalmist says, oh, give thanks to the Lord, for He is good, and His loving kindness is everlasting. And then it says, let the redeemed of the Lord say so. You know what that means? I think it just means that it ought to always be on our lips that we give praise to God. And that every utterance in a worship experience is a free utterance. You should say amen once in a while. Let the redeemed of the Lord say so. Okay, thank you so much. What is it, heat stroke or what? Whom He has redeemed from the hand of adversity and gathered from all the lands, from east and west and north and south. And then Psalm 107 describes four states of experience, four experiences of life in which God rescued His people after they had gone through a difficult trial. And the first is that they had been wanderers. Verse 4 says, they wandered in the wilderness, in a desert region, and they did not find an inhabited city. They were hungry and thirsty like some of you, and they fainted within them. And then they cried out to the Lord in their trouble, and He delivered them out of their distress. And He led them by a straight way to go to an inhabited city. And then this refrain responds to God's delivery of the first trial. They were wanderers, and they wandered and got hungry, and they cried to the Lord, and He heard them. And then it says, so let them give thanks to the Lord for His loving kindness and for His wonders to the sons of men. That's the refrain. Let them give thanks to the Lord for His loving kindness and His wonders to the sons of men. For He satisfied the hungry and He satisfied the thirsty. And then the second state of life is that those were prisoners. Some were wanderers, some were prisoners, and they were in chains. And they cried out to the Lord. And then the refrain comes back. It's on your bulletin. Let them give thanks to the Lord for His loving kindness, for His wonders to the sons of men. Some were in prison, and God delivered them. The third circumstance for some of them was that they were sick. They were afflicted. And they had some kind of illness, perhaps a plague from God in judgment for their pride and their disobedience. And they cried out to the Lord in their trouble, and He saved them, and He healed them. And the fourth situation that the psalm talks about is that those who were lost at sea, they were shipwrecked. They were out in the sea and tossed there. And in their distress, they called out to the Lord, and they cried to Him in their trouble, and He brought them out of their distresses. And He caused the storm to be still and the waves to become hushed. And they were glad because they were quiet, and He guided them to their safe haven. Let them give thanks to the Lord for his loving kindness and for his wonders to the sons of men. You see that on your page? Okay, is it there? See it? Yes? Let's read it together. Let them give thanks to the Lord for his loving kindness and for his wonders to the sons of men. That's a little bit of the refrain here. Let the redeemed of the Lord say so, and let them give thanks to the Lord for his loving kindness. For some of us have been rescued out of a life of wandering. And you know what it was before you came to know Jesus Christ as your Savior, that you wandered through all kinds of things. And you were perhaps in the university totally confused about how you were going to live your life. And maybe in a tremendous confusion of a wandering life, Christ rescued you and delivered you out of your distress. And so today you give thanks to the Lord. Others of you were prisoners, and you were stuck in addiction to drugs and to alcohol and maybe to many other things that had enslaved your life, and you had become a prisoner. And in your distress, you called on the Lord, and he rescued you out of your prison. Right? Some of you can say amen to that. And others of you were sick. Maybe you had the diagnosis of cancer, and maybe it was in your sickness, in your MS, in your undiagnosed, in the frailty of your body. In whatever sickness you had, it was the avenue through which you called on the Lord, and he met you in your sickness, and he saved you. And so you give thanks to the Lord for his loving kindness. And others of you, your life was just shipwrecked. You were lost. I mean, it was a disaster. And you didn't know which end was up. And there you cried out to the Lord, and he met you. I want you to know that the congregation of Calvary Bible Church is a collection of broken people who have been rescued, right? We've all been rescued. There is nothing in us that is worthy of God's grace. And all of us, most of us come to God because we are broken and empty and know we have need of him to put our life back together and to meet us in our sin. We celebrate God's goodness in times like this because not all times are like this. Not all times is it able for us to be together, you know, 1,200 strong to say God is good and celebrate all the things. And we just have such a wonderful day together. Not all days are like this, are they? Not all days are celebration Sunday. Some days are suffering Sundays. But God is unchanged. God is the same. And he will rescue us when we call upon him. We have so much to be thankful for and so much to celebrate. And yet we witness all of the brokenness around us. And we know that is why we're together as a church. And that's what our future is. To be a rescuing mission. A group of people who reach out to the world and say, I can tell you that I have been redeemed by the grace of Jesus Christ. And that's the mission of Calvary, to build a Christ-centered community of people. And we dream of a day when this church will be reaching to more and more people here and in Erie and in every place in between and around the world. Let the redeemed of the Lord say so. In other words, let those who have been changed by the grace of God talk about the way in which he has changed our life, because there are all kinds of broken people around us. One of our members, who is a doctor, sent me an email and told me a bit of the story of this doctor's practice. Here's what I got. I find it a great privilege that God has given to me to be a physician on this earth. Almost daily in my practice, there's the opportunity to discuss the word, the truth, and salvation. I've been in practice for nearly 20 years now, and probably the thing I like best about being a doctor is sharing the gospel. You think about your profession that way? You think about being a student that way? I love being a student on campus because I can share the gospel with people who are prisoners, who are sick, who are shipwrecked, who are wandering through life. I can share the gospel. This doctor said the discussion comes up in every kind of scenario: depression, anxiety, relational issues, work conflicts. And after discussing the medical aspects of what can improve this or that, I often try to throw in a question. What gives you hope? Or what's your sense of purpose for life? Or tell me about your spiritual background. This always puts me another half hour behind in my schedule, but it's worth it. I think most recently of a man I've known for 15 years in my practice. I first met him when he was 65 years of age. He was a newly retired chemical engineer at a local company. He had all kinds of diagnosis over the years, including heart disease, valve replacement, prostate cancer, traumatic cranial bleeding, osteoarthritis, diabetes, and depression. He had lost two sons on separate occasions, both in their 30s. A very interesting man, very smart, a little proud, well off financially. He always would talk about his success in the stock market over the years, and he loved his family. He shows up for his diabetes appointment every 3 or 4 months, and our conversation about his diabetes is always the same. Are you following your diet? No. Are you exercising? No. Are you checking your sugars? No. He comes in 7 weeks ago and says without reservation, I'm depressed. I'm bored. I used to be happy starting at noon every day. Now I'm not happy at all during the whole day. My stock portfolio is doing poorly. It went from over $1 million to $800,000. I'm just not happy. He continued with, you know, I'm 80 years old, and I probably only have 10 more years to live, and I don't like how that feels. My doctor friend said, I'm thinking to myself, 1 or 2 years. So I boldly said, so you're an 80-year-old millionaire, and you're thinking, now what? And he said, yep. So I revisited the conversation I'd had a couple of years ago, and I asked him about his hope and his purpose. And then I wrote a prescription on my prescription pad, addressed to the patient, signed by me, and dated. And this is what I wrote. www.calvarybible.com, resources, messages, 2011, June 12th. Hope in the end. He came back last week. I couldn't wait to talk to him. I didn't ask anything about his diet or exercise or blood sugars. I asked if he listened to the message. And he said, no. He said he wasn't that good at a computer. I asked him, well, how do you follow your personal stock portfolio? He said, on the computer. I told him it's no more difficult to get onto the website and listen to this message than it is for you to track your stocks. I truly believe this man's interested in what Jesus can do for him. And he may not check his sugars or eat right or exercise, and he's caught up in the world, and he's caught up in stuff. He's caught up in money, but he rarely misses an appointment. And I know he doesn't come because he likes my medical nagging. He knows I won't judge him. And he knows a little bit of the love of God that I pray is present in our office every day. I've told him that he's not defined by his stock holdings, but by the fact that he matters to God. I know my life's not perfect, and I hope I am more compassionate and caring as a doctor because of it. Hey, a broken doctor with the commitment to be one of the redeemed who says so. God is good and his faithfulness is everlasting to this generation and to the generation to come. I tell you that story because all of us will run in a circle in the next year. And out of that circle, we will have the opportunity to be the redeemed of God who are part of this Christ-centered community who say with boldness, God is good and Christ is Savior, and you can be rescued from sickness, from prison, from a shipwrecked life, and from a wandering, meaningless direction in life. That's God's specialty, isn't it? To save us by his grace and bring us into his kingdom. And how awesome is it for us to be a part of a collection of people who have imperfections, right? We are imperfect, but we are redeemed by the grace of God, and we pray that our lives will be a reflection of his grace for all the years to come. My prayer for us as a congregation is that we will love God with all of our heart And I call on you to be a member of Calvary who sees the world as not yet a part of our church, but God wants them to be. God wants our church to be a vibrant expression of his grace until all the world knows that Christ is the Lord and Savior, and may he be praised. Let's pray together. God, our Father, thank you for Christ, the Savior, who answers us when we cry out to him in distress, in sorrow, and sickness, and is worthy to be praised on this day of celebration for all the ways you have rescued us. Even today, God, I know that there are many here longing to be rescued from the prison of addiction, from the struggle of temptation and sin that keeps holding us down and back. Those who need to be rescued from a broken life and hurtful relationships and sorrow in many ways, I pray that the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ will be more than abundant on all of us as your church, and that we will give thanks to you that in no circumstance, even though at times it includes these tremendous trials, do you ever leave us or forsake us. At no time will you ever leave us, but you meet us where we are. So I pray, God, that you'll meet us today, your church, and lead us to all that's ahead for us. And give us faith and courage to call upon the Lord with a full heart of faith and belief. That we could even say with those of old, we don't know what the future holds, but our eyes are on you, Lord Jesus Christ. And we don't know what the future holds, but we know you and we love you for your faithfulness. Be glorified, we pray together in Jesus' name. Amen.